Welcome, America. Fasten your seatbelts. This is the Jay Sheldon Show.
On again, off again, SCOTUS. Oh, yeah. They do, then somebody... we'll get into it. It's screwed up. Democrats' worst nightmare, that's coming up. And also illegals and firearms. Nope, not illegal firearms. Illegals, as in aliens, and firearms. Those two things should not go together, but they do. Welcome to the Jay Sheldon Show. Happy Wednesday. It is halfway through the week. We're just starting off hump day across America. Welcome in. Thank you so much for joining. Be sure to hit the follow and the thumbs up. We really appreciate that. It's free for you. Jump in our live chat. It's open. It's we welcome anything you want to say. As long as it's legal, you can spout off about anything you want. We are all about free speech here, not only on this Rumble platform, but on this show in particular. So that's what it's all about. It's also all about helping one of our great sponsors here to get you to buy their products, because their product is incredible. It's Blackout Coffee. I do not start a day without this stuff. Man, I am so glad I discovered Blackout Coffee. Awongas, Sup Jay, and hey, Karen Hill, good morning. Yeah, we're doing our favorite coffee here, Blackout Coffee. They have a small batch roasting process, which means they only roast your beans once you've ordered. A few days to ship them to your house, and you've got the best. Live. Yeah, I guess we are. That was weird. Okay, hang on. I'm going to flip back to my main cam and see why that is doing that. See if we can... Ah, there we go. I think we fixed it. All right. Now, let's get back to the important stuff. They roast your beans. They ship them out within 3 or 4 days to get to your house, and you've got a fresh roasted bag of the best coffee beans on the planet. They work with local co-ops and American farmers. They are all about everything we stand for. Family, integrity, honesty, American values. And this company makes the most amazing coffee. They have coffee pods, flavored teas, and hot cocoa. Also flavored coffees they've got over there. You got to try these. In fact, there's a new blueberry crumble. I've been honest before. I'm not a big flavored coffee fan. This has changed my mind. This stuff is amazing. So check it out. And don't forget at checkout to use the promo code J20 for 20% off your first order. 20%. That's a big deal. With the promo code J20, J-A-Y-20, the promo code for 20% off your first order at Blackout Coffee. Thank you, folks. Links in our show notes. Please do pick up a bag today. Give it a try. You will never go back to that brown raw water, liberal tears crap coffee you've been drinking, because this stuff is out of this world. All right. We started off with some good news, some very good news from the Supreme Court. And as Steve Deese says over on X, no more excuses for any red state governor or legislature not to immediately and completely confront illegal immigration and vanquish it from within their state's borders. SCOTUS has removed the fig leaf. You're either with us or you're against us. Do your jobs. SCOTUS rules the Constitution doesn't care about your feelings. Haitians landing in the Florida Keys. I used to live in the Florida Keys for 5 years. I was with the Sheriff's Department down there. Ron DeSantis spoke up.
The problem when you get to a situation like Florida is if they have people in our state and we wanted to fly them, say, back to Haiti, you have to get clearance to be able to do that. If you wanted to fly somebody to a South American country, wherever they're from, it becomes a little bit more difficult because the federal government's going to tell the host countries not to accept our planes. So we've gone through these iterations. What could we do as states? I definitely think we can help put them back over the border if they come across in Texas or Arizona. And so I'd be willing to help do that. I think that the states really have no other choice to do that at that point. It's a little bit different for a maritime state like us. That's why we really have to get them before they reach the shores, and that's why we're working so hard to do that.
Yeah.
I think next up, Martha Vineyard sounds like a really good idea. Anyway, the Supreme Court said that they held up the fact that states can control their borders, including immigration. Well, that's all fine and good. That worked out just dandy. Yay, a win for our side. Until you saw the next headline that popped up from some idiotic Obama-appointed judge in an appeals court who says, nope, not gonna happen. Look at this bullshit. Texas immigration law has been blocked again in an 11th hour legal whiplash. Oh yeah, from the Washington Examiner, a late night turn of events. A Texas law that allows state police to arrest illegal immigrants was blocked again by an appeals judge just hours, literally hours after the Supreme Court allowed the measure to go into effect. Now, I'm not going to claim I have a full understanding of how the court system works in the U.S., but if the Supreme Court of the United States says something, that pretty much overrule, doesn't it? Hours after the Supreme Court of the United States ruled 6-3 to vacate a lower court stay against Texas Senate Bill 4, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit announced last night it would be weighing the Biden administration's lawsuit against the law Wednesday morning, this morning. Ahead of oral arguments, a majority on that panel ruled to put the law on hold as the legal process plays out. The majority's order dissolves an administrative stay that a separate panel imposed March 2nd, meaning the injunction against Senate Bill 4 immediately goes back into effect. Hours later, this idiotic appeals court says, nope, we're not listening to the United States Supreme Court. We're going to do what we want and put the order right back into effect. So, boing, boing, back and forth, on again, off again. We'll see what happens. Sometime over the next 2-3 days, I assume, this is all going to break. Hopefully it breaks good, not bad. But it is a mess. We're finally getting some long-awaited action. This news in the Tennessee Star. A federal judge has ordered the FBI to turn over the Covenant School Killer's documents for in-camera review. Yep. We are finally going to see all of the documents related to this psycho. Friday, they ordered the Federal Bureau of Investigation to turn over all documents related to the Covenant School shooter, Audrey Elizabeth Hale, including the killer's manifesto. Part of a nationally watched lawsuit against plaintiff Star News Digital Media, parent company of the Tennessee Star. U.S. District Court Judge Alita Trauger cited in her order a significant public interest in the case and determined there is not enough information to justify siding with the FBI. 3-page order. Basically says, turn it all over. We want to see all of it. So, likely that will get appealed by the FBI, and then it will get into this whole lawsuit crap, and it will take forever, and we'll all forget about it again. This show, I promise you, will not forget about it. We have a big list here of the stuff they want you to just forget about, and we cover it every time we see a news story about it. Yeah, again with the white racist school shooters. If the races were different in this story, trust me, the coverage would be completely different. The separation of powers in the United States, one of the most important things after freedom of speech. And it has basically gone to hell in a handbasket. If you did not see the news, Peter Navarro is in prison. They've come for me. They can come for you. Peter Navarro blasts Biden's DOJ for the chilling effect his imprisonment is going to have on all Americans, and it should. He held a press conference in Miami just before reporting to prison. Former Trump advisor Peter Navarro said the justice system in the U.S. will have done a crippling blow to the constitutional separation of powers and executive privilege. Criticized the emergence of lawfare, partisan weaponization of our justice system, absolutely, which we've seen done to this country with a vengeance since Donald J. Trump began as president. He says here, Navarro, I am the first senior White House advisor in history that has ever been charged with this alleged crime. He was sentenced to 4 months in prison for contempt of Congress for not complying with the subpoena due to executive privilege. Yes, that was Miko yelling in the background. Even she doesn't like this story. An executive privilege goes back to George Washington and his remarks to Congress regarding the Jay Treaty. He said, very simply, clearly, succinctly, elegantly, that to write to the Congress, he said, I cannot command you as members of Congress to come to be, and you cannot command me to come to you. From President George Washington. And he's right. Navarro's exactly right. If they can go after him and put him in prison, every single one of us, every single one of us, not one of us is safe. Do we have that? Yeah, we do. Here's Navarro at his press conference.
When I walk in that prison today, the justice system, such as it is, will have done a crippling blow to the constitutional separation of powers and executive privilege. Every person who has taken me on this road to that prison is a friggin' Democrat and a Trump hater. When I walk in that prison today...
Every person, a Democrat and a Trump hater. Clock is ticking, folks. We've got to put an end to this. We have got to put an end to this. It's getting bad, and the news stories make it even worse when you read headlines like this one. You know all the great stuff that illegal immigrants get when they come into this country? Hand phones, big credit card, debit cards, cash, free airline flights. Well, it just gets interestinger and interestinger. A federal judge has ruled that illegal immigrants can possess firearms under the Second Amendment. Wait a minute. Just on the surface, the Constitution is meant to protect Americans. You are an illegal immigrant into our country, so you're already a criminal. You have no protection under the federal constitution. And yet this idiot judge says, oh yeah, you do. An illegal's right to a firearm is protected under the Second Amendment? Are you freaking kidding me? Coleman previously denied Cabaja Fiore's motion to dismiss his indictment, finding the ban was constitutional, and he later asked the court to reconsider the decision by the Supreme Court. A district court judge in Illinois has ruled that prohibiting illegal immigrants from possessing firearms is a violation of the Second Amendment. Karen in the chat, this is absolutely insane. How can they even pass a background check? They're all felons. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's my point. This idiot judge, Sharon Coleman, says non-citizen possession statute laid out in 18 U.S.C. Section 922 violates the Second Amendment as applied. Applied to who? A non-citizen illegal? He was charged with violating the law that says it is unlawful. This is the law the way it stands now. Unlawful for a person who, being an alien, is illegally or unlawfully in the United States and was arrested in June of 2020 in the Little Village neighborhood of Chicago with a handgun in his possession. He said he received and used the handgun for self-protection and the protection of property, and he has no felony convictions. This is insane. We have reached full-on clown world insane. I assume that's the judge. I don't think that's the illegal guy. Can someone explain to me how the Second Amendment applies to an illegal alien? No, you can't, because there is no explanation. Let me guess, it's probably another Obama-appointed judge. People are fed up. People have had it. My audience has had it. I see it. I get emails. I get your messages. Thank you for that, by the way. You can always get a hold of us, by the way, show, S-H-O-W at jsheldon.com. That is our email. I put it out there. It's in the show notes. All of my social media accounts are all down there. You can private message me there if you want. But things are falling apart. This article from the Daily Signal, brilliant, brilliant. And it's something we already knew, but now the data is coming out. Minority voters are shifting away big time in their party affiliation. Even a small percentage, folks, even 5, 6, 7% would be earth-shaking. We're talking about numbers a lot bigger than that. New polling suggests the country is seeing a racial realignment in upcoming elections. A recent analysis shows a consistent downturn in the number of non-whites who call themselves Democrats. Chief data reporter for the Financial Times, John Byrne Murdoch. March 11th analysis shows since 1960, there have been a steady decrease in black people, Latinos, and other non-whites identifying as Democrats. 50%, as it currently stands, of minorities identify as Democrat. Wow. Look at that. From 1964 all the way up to 2024. Look at that. Republicans in the red. Blue is the Democrats. And these two arrows are just about to converge, my friends. When those two go past each other, the Democrats are done. They are done. Now look, don't get complacent. Don't think I don't need to vote. I don't need to be an activist. The work's been done. It hasn't been done. But we're well on the way. These numbers are going to continue. It's amazing. Some good news. Some very, very good news for us. Some very, very bad news for the Democrats. We need a lot more like that, huh? Got to be careful what you say these days. Biden. Yep, got another idiot clip. It's so easy to find these. They come up every day. I don't use half of them because they're just so stupid. But this one caught my ear. So what I want to know before I play this clip, is Biden now a racist? Homophobe? Nazi? White supremacist? Which one? Because as you know, anyone who uses the phrase "make America great again" absolutely has to be one of those things. We'll take a listen.
We're elected, we're going to get it done. A minimum tax of 25% for billionaires. That's not even the highest tax rate, just 25%. You know how much that would raise over 10 years? $500 billion in 10 years. $500 billion if they just started to pay that. Imagine what we could do. We could cut the federal deficit even more. We could invest in things that make America great again. Child care, a whole range of things we could do. And we'd all be better. Affordable child, home care, housing, all of which help families grow our economy.
We could make America great again. First of all, rotting bag of oatmeal garbage. Where have I heard that phrase before? First of all. Second of all, if you use that phrase, wear one of these hats, you're a racist, Nazi, white supremacist, homophobe. So which ones are going to be, Joe? Your move, lefties. He's stumping for Trump. I have a feeling he might have gotten to the point where his dementia has caught up to him and he just, you know, whatever. Make America great again, says Joe Biden. Oh, man. I'm going to go for white supremacist. Yeah, I think white supremacist is best. Awonga says, I stopped wearing that hat, my Make America Great Again hat, a long time ago because of the backlash from others. You know what? That is exactly why I wear it in public as often as I can. I usually wear a cap when I'm outside all the time, and that's usually the one I wear. But it's exactly because of that. Don't be afraid. Get up in their faces. Do not let them win. You're going to get some shit for it. Absolutely, I promise you. Some of it's going to be pretty harsh. These people are demented. They're not going to stop. We have to continue to ignore them. Just like the trans mob, which is a rather awful attempt at a segue into my next story. Climbing on board with the trans mob can get a little expensive. Planet Fitness. You're familiar with that gym franchise, right? their stocks into the crapper. Why? Because they caved to the trans mob. Their stock dropped over 7.5% Tuesday after the company revoked a customer's membership for taking a photo of a biological male in the women's locker room in Fairbanks, Alaska. Planet Fitness revoked Patricia Silva's membership after she had a problem, and I can't blame her, with a man shaving in the women's locker room. In the video, she says, "I just came out of Planet Fitness and there is a man shaving in a women's bathroom. I realize he wants to be a woman. He gets to be a woman. I love him in Christ. He's a spiritual being having a human experience. He doesn't like his gender, so he wants to be a woman. But I'm not comfortable having him shaving in my bathroom." Women in Planet Fitness claim she went into the bathroom and this man who thinks he's a woman was in there shaving. Is that the actual video? Yeah, it's from a post on X. Let's see if it's still there. I'm doing this live, so I don't know. See what happens.
Good day. I just wanted to say I just came out of Planet Fitness, and there is a man shaving in a women's bathroom. I realize he wants to be a woman. He gets to be a woman. I love him in Christ. He's a spiritual being having a human experience. He doesn't like his gender, so he wants to be a woman. But I'm not comfortable with him shaving in my bathroom.
I don't blame you, ma'am. And there's the idiot right there. So, Planet Fitness, being the woke morons that they are, went ahead and canceled their membership. She posted another update later on in the day. "I was offended. I took a picture of him and I asked, 'Why are you there? You're a man with a penis. Why are you in the woman's locker room?' And he justified it by saying, 'I'm queer LGB.'" Planet Fitness defending the man in the locker room. And their stock dropped by 7.8% Tuesday. Bye. Bye, boys. F around and find out. F around and find out. That's how it works. You know what? I need like a permanent tinfoil hat here. This is weird. It's our last story. And usually that's something inspiring or cute or funny or lovey-dovey or aw, you know, one of those things. But I just had to share this last because it's odd. I'm all for good conspiracy theory because most of the time they wind up coming true. There are two folks whom I like a lot. I follow them. I trust in what they say. These people have been around a long time. They know things. They know where bodies are buried. And that would be Ron Paul and General Michael Flynn. Well, this account over on X called Clandestine, War Clandestine on X, they made this post, which is very, you know what a black swan event is? A black swan event is something that happens unexpectedly, out of the blue, left field. Within the last 48 hours, both Ron Paul and General Flynn have warned us of a coming black swan event. Now, over the last decade or more, these two guys have been spot on accurate with just about everything they have said or predicted. It might behoove us to listen to what they have to say. The enemy is not going to roll over and let Trump win. Something is going on, and it likely isn't going to be good. They've got something planned. You know it. You can feel it in your gut. Listen to Ron Paul.
We're reaching this point where some sudden thing is going to happen. I believe in that theory of the black swan.
Yes.
It's going to pop up, and it's not going to be controllable. But people, you ask, what can they do? I think the most important thing is understand what's going on.
That's Ron Paul.
There's things we call them.
This is General Michael Flynn.
Black swan events, right? Black swan events are things that nobody imagined could occur, and yet they did, right? And then they have these incredibly, you know, mostly devastating effects. So I just...
Both of these guys, both of whom have a track record of being right, coming out with these kind of comments, separate from each other, different shows. Rand Paul was on Tucker Carlson. This guy was on, I forget this guy's name. He does a great podcast show. But they both said the same thing. There is some sort of a black swan event coming. It is going to happen. They've already planned it. And we need to keep our heads on a swivel and be prepared. You can never be fully prepared. That's why it's called a black swan event, because it's least expected, except by the people who plan it. Okay. Book time. Reading books on this show. Hey, don't forget, folks, hit that follow button, please. It's a green button down there that says follow. You need to be signed up for a Rumble account, but that's free. Download the app or look for us online, rumble.com/The Jay Sheldon Show. Hit the follow button, hit the thumbs up. We really do appreciate that. It is free for you, and it helps the show out a lot. All right. Are you ready? The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. First published back in 1881. Phronsie got found. Everything is kind of okay. And we'll move on with more of this book. This next chapter is called New Friends. Up the stairs of the hotel, two steps at a time, ran a boy with a big black dog at his heels. Come on, Prince, soft now, as they neared a door at the end of the corridor. It opened to a room overlooking the park, as the small open space in front of the hotel was called. Within the room there was sunshine and comfort, it being the most luxurious one in the house, which the proprietor had placed at the disposal of this most exacting guest. He didn't look very happy, however. The gentleman who sat in an easy chair by the window, a large, handsome old gentleman whose whole bearing showed plainly that personal comfort had always been his, and there was, therefore, neither a matter of surprise nor thankfulness. "Where have you been?" he asked, turning around to greet the boy who came in, followed by Prince. "Ah, such a lovely story, father." He flushed. His eyes sparkled as he flung back the dark hair from his forehead. "You can't even guess." "Ah, never mind now," said the old gentleman testily. "Your stories are always long. The paper hasn't come. Strange, indeed, that one must need to be so annoyed. Do ring that bell again." And so the bell was pulled, and the porter popped in his head. "What is it, sir?" "The paper," the old gentleman said irritably. "Hasn't come yet?" No, sir, said the man, and then he repeated, "'Tain't in yet, please, sir." Oh, very well. You said so once, that's all. Waved his hand as the door closed. He said to his son, that pays one for coming to such an out-of-the-way country place as this, away from papers. I'll never do it again. As the old gentleman, against the advice of many friends who knew his dependence on externals, had determined to come to this very place, the boy was not much startled at the decisive words. He stood very quietly, however, until his father had finished. And then he said, it's too bad, father. Supposing I tell you my story, perhaps you'll enjoy hearing it while you wait. It's really quite newspaper-ish.
Well, you might as well tell it now, I suppose, said the old gentleman. But it's a great shame about that paper. To advertise it morning papers to be obtained, it's a swindle, Jasper. Complete swindle, said the old gentleman, who looked so irate the boy exerted himself to soothe him. I know, but they can't help the trains being late. They should have the trains late, said his father unreasonably. No necessity for all this prating about trains late. I'm convinced it's because they forgot to send down for the papers till they were all sold. Oh, I don't believe that's it, father, said the boy, trying to change the subject, but you don't know how splendid Prince has been, nor, and then, such a breakfast. My liver certainly will be in a dreadful state if these things continue. And he got up, going to the corner of the room, opened his medicine chest. Taking a box of pills therefrom, he swallowed two, which done, he came back in a somewhat easier expression to his favorite chair. He was just splendid, father, began the boy. He went for him, I tell you. I hope, Jasper, your dog hasn't been doing anything violent, said the old gentleman. I must caution you, you'll get into trouble some day, and then there'll be a heavy bill to pay. He grows more irritable every day. Irritable, cried the boy, flinging his arms around the dog's neck, who was looking up at the old gentleman in high disdain. He's done almost the most splendid thing you ever saw. Why, he saved a little girl, father, from a cross organ man, that he drove that man. Oh, you ought to saw him. You should have seen him run. And now that that was over, Jasper put back his head and laughed long and loud as he remembered the rapid transit of the musical pair. Well, how do you know she wasn't the man's daughter? Asked his father, determined to find fault some way. You haven't any business going around the country setting your dog on people. I shall have an awful bill to pay some day, Jasper, an awful bill. He continued, getting up, commencing to pace up and down the floor in extreme irritation. Father, cried the boy, half laughing, half vexed, springing to his side, keeping step with him. We found her brother. He came along when we were by the side of the road. We couldn't go any further, and the poor little thing was all tired out. And don't you think they live over in Badgertown? And, well, said the old man, pausing in his walk, taking out his watch to wonder if that paper would ever come. She probably followed the organ man, so it served her right after all. Well, but father, the boy's eyes glowed. She was such a cunning little thing. She wasn't more than 4 years old, had such a pretty yellow head, said so funny, I want Polly. Did she? Said the old gentleman, getting interested in spite of himself. What then? Why then, sir, said Jasper, delighted at the success and diverting his thoughts, Prince and I waited and waited, and I was just going to bring her here to ask you what I should do when, dear me, said the old gentleman, instinctively staring back as if he actually saw the forlorn little damsel, you needn't ever bring people here, Jasper. I don't know what to do with them, I'm sure. Well, said the boy, laughing. We didn't have to, did we, Prince? Stroking the big head of the dog who was slowly following the two as they paced up and down. but keeping carefully on the side of his master. For just as we really don't know what to do you think there was a big wagon come along, drawn by the rickiest old horse, and a boy in the wagon looking both sides of the road, in every bush, just as wild as he could be? And before I could think hardly, he spied us, and if he didn't jump, I'd have thought he'd broken his leg. And I suppose he abused you for what you'd done, observed the old gentleman. That's about all the gratitude there is in the world. Earl, you didn't seem to mind me at all. I thought he'd eat the little girl up. Ought to have looked out for her better then, grumbled the old man. He's a splendid fellow, I just know, cried Jasper. His name is Pepper. Pepper, repeated his father. So nice family ever had the name of Pepper. Well, I don't care, said Jasper's loud and merry laugh. He's nice anyway. I know little things. I'm going to see them, can't I, father? Dear me, how can you, Jasper? Do you have the strangest taste I think I've ever seen? It's dreadfully dull here, pleaded the boy, by touching the right string. You know that yourself, father. I don't know any boys around here, and Prince and I are so lonely on our walks. Do permit me, father. The old gentleman, who really cared very little about it, turned away, muttering, well, I'm sure I don't care, and go where you like, when a knock was heard at the door, and a paper was handed in, which broke up the conversation and restored the good humor. The next day but one, Ben was out by the woodpile, trying to break some kindling for Polly, who was washing up the dishes, and otherwise preparing for the delights of a baking day. And I have a feeling they're about to have a visitor. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks so much for popping by, stopping in. We will continue with the Five Little Peppers tomorrow on a Thursday edition. Thanks so much. Hit the follow, hit the thumbs up. Thanks for joining. Spread the news out there, and I will see you all again tomorrow.
You just heard the Jay Sheldon Show. Join us Monday through Friday here on Rumble. Thanks for watching.
Snort.